Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us with another live episode of Love and Life. I am your host, Roger Love. Yes, I am. I am joined this morning by my lovely co-host, Miss Kiki. Good morning, Kiki.
Good morning, Roger Love.
How you doing this morning, hon?
I'm at work, so I guess I'm doing fine.
Amen, amen. This is your company, so you can do that, okay? And, girl, I think I should have asked you that last question, Todd, at least when we first called, instead of waiting until the show is getting ready to start. My bad. I didn't think about it, but I was thinking about it, yeah. But as y'all know, Miss Mahogany is still in D.C., honey. Yes, she is, Todd, and I'm thinking she's enjoying herself from the picture that I saw, even though she posted it about something. It was hot out there, but I'm like, you know what? It's everywhere. It's summertime, you know?
Right.
You know, if it wasn't hot, we'd be concerned. That's the thing.
Exactly.
But it just amazes me. You know, and I'm still getting people coming into the hotel talking about how hot it is outside. Oh, my God, it's so hot out here. I wasn't expecting it. I'm like, y'all, you do know that you're in Hotlanta, right?
Okay.
You know, did somebody not tell you that that's where you were coming when you actually booked your tickets? You know, that's what I want.
Somebody should have warned you.
You know, you in Atlanta, honey. They don't call it Atlanta for nothing. No, they don't.
Okay.
But all right now, honey, let us get this day started now. Miss Kiki, girl, I'm so glad you are here with me today. And you want to know why?
Why?
Because you're doing the show today, girl. That's why. Yes.
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 But go on and let it have.
Well, let me go ahead and shock y'all. Miss Sharon Osbourne and Miss Ozzy Osbourne are getting a divorce.
Hey.
Why must you ask? Because Ozzy Osbourne cheated and had sex with his hairstylist and makeup artist. Yes, and they had a relationship going on. And I think the lady was something like 23, 24 years old, and Ozzy is 70. Well, Sharon's tired of it and she wants a divorce.
Ew!
My thoughts exactly, Rocky Love.
I'm just like, you know what? I was thinking to myself, you know what, with Sharon Osbourne, girl, you know what? She's been with Ozzy long enough. So I'm like, you know, you got used to that idea.
Right.
But little girl, ew.
The money. I can only think about it being the money because, he is 70, and then Ozzy looks like he didn't slept with everything. He didn't eat rat heads.
And just look like he's just about ready to, you know, he kind of reminds me of Mr. Burns on The Simpsons. Just
yes.
The white hair. Without the white hair. That's it. That's what he reminds me of when I see him, old and decrepit looking, like, ew.
Yes. Close.
You don't love herself. That's what it is. Don't love herself.
I think it's all about the love of money, Raj. I think it's all about the love of money. Girl,
I'm sure she's making a pretty penny, girl, without having to have that going on like that, child. That's the thing.
I mean, she does hair and makeup for Ozzy and Sharon, so she
exactly.
Can't be making that hell of a much.
I mean, exactly, though. You do their hair and makeup, so I'm sure that at some point you're doing other people's hair and makeup at some points, too. And even if you're not, that still sounds like a cushy job to me. It don't sound like you're getting paid minimum wage or nothing.
Right.
You know, I'm thinking
maybe $200-$300 a day. But, you know, it's not what she's going to get if she gets with Ozzy and Sharon gets out the picture. She's going to get much, much more.
Nah, she ain't getting shit, okay? Sharon and I was married to that man since the day before forever. She got some kids that are growner than her. You know, since the day before forever. And it's like, yeah, and if anything happens to Ozzy, that shit is still going to Sharon Osbourne, the first wife, okay? She might get herself a nice little life insurance policy if she buy one on him. But that's
exactly it.
That is about
Ozzy Osbourne and Sharon's daughter posted on Instagram that if you're looking for a thought, someone to mess with old men, suck them off, call, and she put the lady's phone number.
Ooh.
The lady comes back and posts on her page and said, your dad is the one that was married, not me. And she said, well, you the husband that knew he was married.
Ooh. You slack.
So I think, you know, the little daughter is not happy with the situation, but, you know, she's almost the same age as the girl, so I guess she's a little upset.
What do you mean almost? The girl is almost the same age as her, you mean?
Yeah.
That's the thing. Almost the same age as her. She's younger than Kelly if she's only in her 20s.
Yeah.
Like. No, ma'am.
Woo. I have to blame Ozzy. He is the one that was married.
He is, but girl, still love yourself, honey. That is just nasty. Okay, that is just, ugh. He ain't even,
yeah.
Ozzy is not even one of those older guys that have a charisma or anything about him. You know, he ain't like a George Clooney or, you know, what's his name, the other one, what's that other one that was in Pretty Woman? Richard Gere. You know,
yeah.
At least with those older guys, you can at least see something more about them that's like, okay, well, they're still holding on to whatever it is that they had. Ozzy ain't that.
Okay.
I'm like, girl, now see, I've always said, now people have heard me say this, child, that, you know, I always thought that Patrick Stewart, if you don't know who Patrick Stewart is the one who was one of the captains of the Starship Enterprise, the bald one,
uh-huh.
One who looked kind of like Mr. Clean, you know?
Yes.
And I thought, I've always found him, for an older guy, to be attractive. I've always said that. And so for me, I was like, oh, my God, but see, Ozzy ain't even that.
No, not even close to that.
Girl, that's just disgusting, child. And we got a caller that just called in, child. Maybe they got some light to shed on the situation. Good morning, caller.
Morning.
Good morning. Oh, the caller said, you know what? They ain't about to get me in this foolishness, no, ma'am. And it just dropped out, honey. I'm like,
call us back. We won't mind getting your opinion if you would date Ozzy. Ooh.
Ew. Ew. Or know anybody that would. That's just nasty.
let's put a little bit of better taste in everybody's mouth. Speaking of cheating, there was a gentleman in California that his wife, he had a suspicion that his wife was cheating. So for her birthday, he asked, could he give her a party or they go out of town? She told him, no, go out of town with your boys, and I'm going to chill and stay in town. Well, his suspicion was correct. He decided to throw her a birthday party, a surprise party, when he realized that her lover was going to actually come to their house while he was going on vacation. He called her parents, her sister, all her family to meet him in the elevator to arrive at their apartment. When they were arriving at their apartment, he gave them balloons and her mother a cake. When they got to the apartment, they walked, and her mother thought she was just in bed, not feeling well for her birthday because she was getting older. When they opened up the door to say surprise, they were surprised. Her lover was butt naked in the bed, and so was she.
Girl.
What a way to give a surprise party, huh?
Girl. And there's no denying that everybody just saw your nasty ass. You're a slut, Mr. Even your mama.
At least she wasn't cheating with Ozzy, right?
Okay. Ew. That's just nasty, but girl, but yes indeed. So her husband basically knew his wife was cheating, so he decided to do this to expose her, basically.
Right.
But you know what? I'm like, to me, that's very elaborate to do you know the truth. See, that's my thing. Am I trying to put all that really together? But I don't know how much it would cost to do a surprise party when all you have to do is buy some balloons and a cake and just ask people to show up, you know?
Right.
So that might not have been that cost, you know, that costly. So I'm thinking, okay, well, all right, it is. So you go into the house.
That's a creative way to show her that you know without making a scene. Hey, I'm with
you. That's why I say, yeah, it was elaborate. He was like, well, I know she's cheating. So now I just got to just let everybody else see.
Exactly.
Invite everybody over to the house and say it's a surprise party, so nobody going to say that they're showing up.
Exactly.
Girl. So my thing is, what did she say? Did they say anything about what she said and did after?
Well, they said her sister pushed everybody out of the room
while the gentleman put on his clothes and ran out the door, and she closed the door. So he said at that point he had his pictures, his evidence for his lawyer, so he can file for divorce.
Oh, so he came up in there with the camera, too.
Yes, yes. Yes, honey. He was serious about catching.
Girl, now my question is, I'm wondering if he had something going on the side, too. That's what I'm wondering.
Well, to go through all that trouble, he must not have.
Not necessarily, honey, because if you know, especially if they people with at least a little bit of something, it's like, they just probably went through all of that just so they, like you said, he can get his evidence, take it to his lawyer, get the divorce without having to actually pay anything extra for her because she's the one that actually committed the adultery.
Right.
So she didn't catch him because she wasn't caring.
Exactly. And that was her problem. She should have been on her game.
See?
The girl should have been on her game.
She thought she was smart, but no, honey, he got you. Slut.
He got you. All right. Miss Aretha Franklin had to cancel all her concerts due to a mysterious illness. So Miss Aretha will not be doing her concerts this year. She had another 12 states that she was doing that she had to cancel.
Ooh.
Hope you get better, Aretha.
Oh, my goodness. All right, Aretha. What's going on, child? What's going on?
Yes.
They canceled six, child. That's normally not no kind of, cold kind of thing, you know?
Right. And they're saying it's a mysterious illness, so. Hopefully, Miss Aretha is okay. We can't lose another icon. We just lost a few.
Well, icons are falling left and right, honey.
Yes. And Mr. Johnny Gill had his 50th birthday party this weekend, and he told Eddie Murphy to stay home.
What? How you going to do that?
They got something going on I don't know about, right?
Girl, if you didn't know, child, you late, Mr. You the late. Let me stop. Allegedly, what they say.
Eddie couldn't come to the party because they got something they won't keep on the low low.
Why are you going to tell Eddie Murphy not to come to a party that's for you and that's your birthday and that's supposed to be your boy, friend? Your boy, who's your friend.
Woo. Yeah, I read that one. I was like, woo, why would you tell it? Y'all got something going on. I had a little,
Hey, but I didn't understand this, though, because I'm like, because I didn't know he moved out of the house. I mean, when did he move out? Or maybe that's why he was telling Eddie to stay home.
Yeah, I think he was still living with him because he told Eddie to stay home.
See, that's why I said. Okay. So that makes more sense.
Wow. Woo, that was my tea because I didn't know.
How did you find this out?
The blogs, I found it out on the blogs that he told him to stay home.
I'm asking. Where did he post, where did that come about? Who reported that? That's what I want to know because I don't think he would have posted that on the social media.
No, they were asking where was Eddie. Somebody was questioning him. Some bloggers were questioning him.
He told
Eddie to stay home. But he laughed about it, but Eddie never showed up to the party. So they took the little laughter as he was being serious.
As he was what?
Being serious. Because he said, I told Eddie to stay home. And, Eddie didn't show up. So they were like, he might have said, ha-ha, but he was being serious.
Okay. Yeah, he went on about his business. He didn't want to parade his love affair around, child, so yeah. He's still on the DL, that's what it is.
Wow. I didn't know it was that deep with them, but okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of deep, Tamar Braxton, everybody knows she fired.
Yeah.
Lonnie Love made a video and stated that she was trying to reach out to Tamar, but Tamar wasn't answering her calls because what happened was when Tamar first found out, she texted all the ladies. Well, Tamara answered her right away. About 3 hours later, Lonnie said she was taking a nap. She woke up 3 hours later and she called her and called her and called her, and Tamar never answered her call. She said, and then Adrian was out of the country, and so was Jeannie. So Tamar, they feel, is a little, you know, not answering their calls or anything, but she, Lottie said she's going to continue to call her because they did not know about the actual her getting fired, but she kind of assumed that they did because they didn't answer her call when she sent them out a text to let them know. Then Lonnie was on Wendy Williams on Friday, and when she was on Wendy Williams was taped on Thursday. On Monday, Wendy came on and said that Lonnie Love, laughing and giggling, knew that Tamar was not going to have a job. Lonnie said that was not the truth. She didn't find out until Saturday when Tamar sent out the mass text. After, she said on Saturday evening, she got a call from the producers telling her that Tamar would not be joining them in season 3. She tried to ask the producers why or what happened, and they pretty much told her it was none of her business.
Mm.
So,
in other words, don't ask about it no more. Okay.
Yes. So then everybody started the rumor that Kiki Palmer was going to leave her show and start on The Real. Kiki Palmer said she is not coming to The Real. She cannot take Tamar's spot. So I guess everybody thinks that Tamar did a good job, except for the advertisers and the producers, because they felt that she wasn't approachable or likable by people that watched the show.
And you know what? Thinking back on that too, that thought there, because I'm like, yeah, Tamar has had some people, you know, I'm going to say not coming for her, because a lot of stuff is just some stuff they felt some kind of way about stuff that she said.
Uh huh.
And so it became a public thing, you know, with the Twitter and the Facebook verse and all that other kind of stuff. It's like, yeah, people started coming at, you know, her, because of the stuff that she would actually say, but then it's like she couldn't take criticism coming back either, you know?
Right.
So I'm like, I'm starting to see why they say that, but at the same time, you know, I'm like, well, y'all did bring this person on to begin with and kept her for 2 seasons, and then, of course, a lot of times, you know, some people be like, she's one of the reasons why they watch the show, because she's an entertaining person to watch sometimes, you know?
Right.
So I'm just like, yeah, it's a double-edged sword when you're dealing with that kind of situation.
Exactly, exactly. And with Tamar, I think everybody didn't like that she was too outspoken. They said she was too much of a brat. And I see her being the brat-type person, but like a lot of her friends are saying, Tamar used to bring her own outfits to The Real. She used to bring her own hairstylist and makeup artist to The Real. So if she was so much of a horrible person to deal with, then she would have been requesting them to have her a stylist in, you know, hairdresser.
I was about to say, well, if she was doing all of that, why would they call her just because she brought her own people? If I was them, I'd be happy that she brought her own people.
Exactly. And that's what I was saying, but they said she... And she didn't know how to talk to her people because she, remember, she had fired like 3 of them.
Who?
That worked for her. But I feel if she's paying them, she has a right to fire them.
She do. But then it's also the whole thing about, well, what happened that made you do it that can actually say the kind of person that you are. Because if it was just because, you know what, they brought some outfits and you just was feeling some kind of way and just didn't like none of them. And then
right.
You know what? You're fired. That kind of thing. Yeah.
Yes.
You want?
All right. I got another ratchet story. Oh, go ahead, Raj. I'm sorry.
How about to say, no, you on your rag, child, and all of a sudden somebody lose their job. Yeah, that's not cute.
Yeah, that ain't cute at all. That ain't cute at all.
That's not cute. So if that was the case, then I can see why they still said that. But if that wasn't the case, then yeah, if they wasn't doing their job right.
Exactly.
You know.
I don't blame her, because like I said, if somebody came and worked for me and they didn't do the job that I wanted them to do, call me a B all you want. If you're not doing my job, I don't want you here to my liking.
Babe.
I'm the one paying you. Hello.
Hello.
Hmm.
Otherwise, then how about this? I'm not going to fire you, but I'm just not going to pay you either. How about that?
How about that?
Okay.
All right. Before I get to the ratchet story, I want to pray for the people in Chicago. Yes, as of yesterday at 3 o'clock, they had 40 shootings in Chicago over the Memorial weekend.
Oh,
that was at
goodness.
3 o'clock. So, you know, let's pray for Chicago. Y'all got to get it together, guys. Y'all got to get it together.
I'm like, girl, and you know that doesn't just stop in Chicago, because I think they had something posted that was on Facebook. I think it was on Facebook as I was passing through and scrolling, child, and I don't even know where that shooting was, but I thought it was something that was in Atlanta that people were talking about, too. And it's just like, you know, why do people feel like feel that extra need just to do some ignorant stuff for real?
Right. I mean, it just boggles my mind.
Really?
But I pray for the families of the victims in Chicago. But on a lighter note, before we get to the real conversation that I have, Roger, because I got a question for you on that one, but not this one. This one's a little ratchet.
Oh,
in the pulpit.
Okay.
In the prayer stands. There was the choir stand.
Okay.
There was the pastor's wife and his mistress, Miss Dukes, was in the choir stand, and they decided to start having a fight over the pastor. The police was called, and it was an all-out brawl.
Oh, my God.
So the pastor, his wife, and the mistress, Duke, they duked it out during church service, allegedly over his affair, and it went on for about 30 to 45 minutes before police could actually break it up. Right behind the pulpit.
Girl, my question is now, what becomes of the Lord's house when you invite in the devil and the devil? You know, it's like you're just bringing them into the house. They ain't sneaking in. You're just bringing them in there, saying, sit down, enjoy yourself.
Exactly. And my thing is, for the pastor, y'all duking it out between each other and fighting, y'all should have hit him in the back of his head sitting on the pulpit.
Hello. You think?
Y'all missed the target.
Yeah, girl, I was thinking about some knees and elbow action, girl. That's what I was thinking.
Okay. Y'all were right behind him instead of y'all fighting with each other, because obviously he's telling one woman one thing and he's telling the other one the other. Just beat him up. He's the common denominator here. I don't get it. But anywho, to my question and my next story. All right, Roger. Well, I have two more. I'm sorry. This next one, and hopefully we'll have time. I'm sorry, because I forgot this one. This little girl had sex with over 35 boys in a high school bathroom.
At one time?
Yes. And they said this is not the first time she's done this. They had a line outside of the bathroom, and after each young boy went in and came out, then another one went in. The school found out because the line was kind of long by the ladies' restroom, and it was full of boys. When they went in, they found it. Well, when they interviewed, what was disturbing was when they interviewed the parents to find out what they thought about the situation, they said, oh, she's been doing that. I mean, her mama did it when she was in school.
Wow.
That's what I said. What? And one of the little girls was like, I don't know how they didn't tell till now, because that was more than that used to be in the line. What? Where are the teachers?
My thing is like, okay, yeah, all these people in a line having sex shot at a school.
Yes.
Shouldn't their asses be in class?
Hello?
Oh, my goodness. See, yeah, this is where the downfall of the country goes to, child, yeah. And I ain't going to even ask you what color she was, because in my mind, it don't really matter. It really don't. It don't.
It didn't. I was just shocked at the number of young men, and they said this happened on a regular occurrence. So for them to stand in these lines, and the teachers not knew if they're going into the men's restroom or the boys' restroom or the girls' restroom, and they're standing in these lines, and you're not finding out what's going on until, what, months or years later?
Okay, was there any kind of money involved? Because I'm thinking to myself, child, and that must be how she must be looking to pay for her college tuition or something. Because I'm like, girl, if you got that many people in the line every day.
Right?
Yeah.
And for them to interview parents pulling up to pick up their kids, and they're like, oh, yeah, her mama did that. What?
Wow.
Like, it was normal. Like, it was cool. I was like, OMG, when they interviewed the kids on the campus, They were like, oh, she's been doing that. What?
And my question is, well, damn, is she the only one? Because everybody knows.
Well, everybody knew her. They were like, oh, she's been doing that. Oh, that ain't no, they ain't no nothing. I mean, the teacher.
They call her the
surgeonizer.
That's what they call her. It's her superpower.
Indeed.
It's her superpower. That's what it is.
Oh, my goodness. In high school? I mean, come on.
Well, girl, I mean, you know, people was doing stuff when we were in high school, child. Now, I wasn't myself or yourself, but people have been doing stuff long before we got into high school from what
not
I...
Not up to 35 boys standing in line and each going back and forth.
No,
I'm
but they had babies. Look, they had a lot of babies being born during the time during my tenure in high school, so it might not have been 35, but, you know, it was still enough.
Right, but when they did it in the privacy of whoever's home or backyard or car or park or whatever.
Girl, no.
I've
heard some stories going on in the bathrooms. That's what I'm telling you. They had stuff going on in bathrooms and locker rooms and gymnasiums and you've heard of stories under the bleachers. That kind of,
I heard under the bleachers, but I hear sex. I heard it was more kissing and heavy padding.
I've heard of stuff. Now, how much of it is true? Because, again, I wasn't there. But heard a whole lot of stuff. So.
I'm just appalled. I mean, God, the parents just not to be. I mean, I would have been floored. I would have been in there screaming for the principal, the school board president. I would have been in there hollering.
Again, it's just sad. And then those boys, who's actually partaking in that, child, I'm just like, you know what?
All kind of diseases and everything.
See? And they think it's the cool. They think it's the coolest thing to be a part of that kind of thing.
Right?
I'm like, dude, you just had sex with the girl who just had sex with about how many people just now?
At least 35.
At least 35 that day. And you think that's cool. Now, my question is like, okay, have all of them used protection?
Probably not if they're in school.
It's like,
that's she can't be no more than, at the most, she can be 18. But she could be 14 or 14 at the least. You know?
Right, they didn't say she was a senior.
No, they did not say. And they say she's been doing it, so she must have been comfortable with doing it, so she might have been a sophomore or junior for all we know. Wow.
People don't realize that they set their perception of themselves in with what they do at that age.
Exactly.
All of that stuff is going to forever be etched in your fabric now. It's like that's just going to be who you were, and that's whenever you do, if ever you go to a high school reunion, that's who you're going to be for the rest of your life,
virginizer. They're going to bring you a garden tool and tell you, this reminds me of you, garden tool.
They're going to have that. Oh, y'all remember that hoe, what's her name, that hoe, that the one who basically just kept having sex with everybody, what's her name?
Right, and she better hope that nobody catches anything because they're going to sue her family for that, even though they were consenting, but she actually is the one that's carrying it at this point.
I figure you can sue all you want, but you went in there open eyes, open everything else.
You did, but at the same time, you can't sue because if she is actually the one that's the carrier, you can sue her.
If you can sue people for what they don't know, then, hey, everybody would be sued for this kind of stuff. So
sometimes, ignorance to the law is not,
No, it's not ignorance to the law. The law is if you knowingly are passing around or having unprotected sex while you know you have something, that's the law. But if you don't actually know that you have this disease, then you don't know that you're passing anything to anybody. You're just having free sex with people. And that is not against the law because people do that all the time.
Right. But if her mother did this before, hopefully her mother is bringing her to be tested. And hopefully she does not have anything.
Girl, if we want to talk about what's hopefully happening here, child, okay, we way beyond that, okay?
You're right about that. You're right about that. You are so right about that.
Yeah, that went out the window a long time ago, that hope. No.
long time ago.
Wow. 35 people ago, too.
Okay.
Oh, my God. But, yes, but that's just the fabric of that whole situation there, child. It's like, yeah, ain't no tearing that one, child. You can't rip it apart. You can't do nothing. You can't even burn that fabric. That is etched in you.
Okay.
Well, from the,
all right.
She's going to be known as that girl.
Okay. All right. We have. Okay, that was a question that was posed. If you are against the death penalty. However, before you answer, the young man, Dylan Roof, that killed 9 people inside the church, and he left one person to testify, and he stated that in his court case that he left that one person to testify against him. He has no remorse, so the judge gave him the death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody feels that the death penalty is too finalized, that he should have gotten the life sentence. Now, with a life sentence, and they feel because with the death penalty, you have a limited amount of times that you can appeal it. With a life sentence, you only have a certain amount of time that you can appeal it. So when he appeals it, the state pays for it with the death penalty. The state pays for him to appeal it any time that he, you know, to continue to appeal it. So everybody is saying that it's so finalized for him to get the death penalty, he can keep appealing. Then to get the life sentence, where he only has a certain amount of appeals, but he is eligible once, you know, his life sentence is to be released because he is young. He's only 22 years old.
Exactly.
So me, myself, I'm not for the death penalty, but for what he did, the young man sat in the church and observed these people. And I know we had an extensive conversation about this on the show before.
Mm-hmm.
And to actually, you know, feel out these people, come to this church and have this in your mind if that's what you wanted to do after 3 times coming to the church, and then actually look at the person that you want to keep alive. And the man tried to talk him down, and he left him alive on purpose so he could testify against him after he shot everybody else. So, I'm totally against the death penalty because there's so many innocent people that die on the death penalty, with the death penalty, because they don't have enough evidence. And it's supposed to be in court. If you don't have enough evidence, you're supposed to throw it out. And so there's so many people sitting on death row that winds up getting out, or they wind up getting killed, and then years later find out that they wasn't the actual killer. So that's why I'm really against the death penalty, because it is too finalized on someone's life, and you don't know without a shadow of a doubt if they did it. Now, with Dylan,
we know he did it.
We know he did it, but I still think the death penalty for him, I'd rather him sit in jail and feel his rapture. I want him to be tortured, and that's a harsh word to use, but I do, because I feel that giving him the death penalty is going to give him the opportunity to sit and enjoy himself, because, you know, prison for some people is like a daycare.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he was scared of prison, he would have turned the gun on himself. He wasn't scared of prison. So giving him the death penalty is like giving him a day spa. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm totally like against the death penalty, and I don't think he deserves the death penalty. I think he deserves life in prison in the worst way.
See, for me, I've always said, you know what? I've always been against the death penalty itself, because.
Uh-huh.
Again, my thought is, it's just like this. I truly, truly don't believe, even in his situation, that nobody should have the right to just take somebody else's life without it being a self-defense situation. If somebody's trying to kill you or trying to come for you and take, you know, take you out, you have every right to defend yourself to whatever measure that you feel like you need to take in order for that person to stop. Because sometimes
right.
it can come to that. And other than that, I don't feel like you have the right to take nobody else's life because that was not something that you gave to them. So it's not something that you have the right to take away, you know?
Exactly.
So for me, I feel like there's always an alternative to the death penalty that people should be basically like, I feel like if you're going to give somebody a death penalty, no, I'm like, if you give somebody a death penalty for whatever the heinous crime that they did commit, they don't stand the chance of actually growing that conscience to actually start feeling some kind of way, you know, about what
right.
they did. My thing is, the more you let somebody sit with an idle mind, the more likely they're going to start feeling the regrets of what they did. And I'm like, that to me is the better solution to that person because you would deserve that. This is what you did, so you deserve to think about that every single day of your life because you did this.
Right.
You know? And I feel like there should be rooms, just like they have the, what they call those little cells? The
solitary.
Solitary confinement. There we go. That's where people who have actually, who've been given the death penalty, that's where I think they should actually go instead and just live out the rest of their days, be it from 23 to 90, however long they live, that's where they should be. They should.
And I think they should be in population because
I feel like if they're in population, anything can happen in population to where they still ain't even concerned about what it is that they did. They can be, they're going to be so wrapped up in what other people are looking to do and what might be going on with them and all that kind of stuff. And then mine might get, you know, killed within the few weeks that they're there, you know?
Right.
I'm like, I want them to feel the remorse of what they did and really, really feel the actual act of what they did.
And, Do you think he's going to feel remorse of what he did?
If you put somebody in a room where there's not much to do besides just look at the four walls, the only thing they're going to have is what's going on in their mind.
And in his mind, he feels that he's right by what he did.
And
I think
mind.
He's going to always feel that he's right.
Now, what I'm also going to say is what you do is put some pictures of those people that he killed high up enough to where it's like he can't just jump up and just snatch them down, but low enough that he can actually see them. And just that would be his wall, his mural for the rest of the time that he's living because that's what he's going to be seeing all the rest of his life. That, to me, is more of an actual solution than just killing that person because killing that person is just basically, like I said, they're never going to really say, well, you know what, I feel vindicated because I did this and so now I'm giving my life for what I believed in. If you're sitting there and you're thinking about what you did for however, you can literally sit there for a week and probably be like, you know what, I'm ready, I'm done, I'm sorry, I did it, or whatever. But you're going to be in there for the rest of your life.
But for him being 22, I think his mind probably hasn't matured. So I think once he's sitting there for a good 20 years, I think he's going to realize what he's done. But I really think he should be in general population, and I really think he should be around people because I think he did it because of their color, their race. I think if he sits around them enough, because in his mind, I think he felt that he did the right thing. And I think if he sat in the cell, he would still think that he's the God and he did the right thing if he sat by himself. Because you can teach yourself to think. A mind is a dangerous thing. You can make your mind think anything you want. So he can look at those pictures every day and think that he's a God and he did something right. Where if he was in general population and he actually met people, other people of color, then he probably get another picture of what he actually did after maybe 10, 15 years. Because I don't think right now he's there. I don't think he's mentally there, and he's mature enough in his own mind to think that he's not right. Because I think he really believes that he is absolutely right by what he did.
But
I think he deserves a life sentence and not a death sentence.
But see,
my tax dollars should pay for him to appeal every time he gets a goddamn chance. Every time he think he won't get out that cell and go to sit in the courtroom.
But But see, there's another issue that you're not thinking about also with that being in general population. General population, girl, they have cliques.
Mm-hmm.
And those cliques generally gravitate towards those people that they truly feel like they have that clique with. And, you know, they got the Aryan Nation still running strong up in the prisons, just like they got the black people, whatever they call themselves, the Crips and the Bloods and whatnot.
Yeah.
And they're strong in there. So it's like, if he's in general population, if he truly felt like those people were not, you know, worthy of being around him or whatnot, even though he did what he did to sit up in there for however long just to kill these people, I don't think that being in, around them in prison is going to make any bigger difference to him to get that realization either. Because in his mind, he knows he's going to prison. So it's like you said, he did all of this. You know, on purpose because he's not afraid to go to prison. And being around a prisoner in a prison, black, white, or whatever, child, is not going to change the perspective of what it is you already think about them. Because
right.
They're in there with you. So if he has that mentality that he's a god and all of that for his beliefs or whatnot, and he goes into a prison where he believes probably every black person besides being dead need to be anyway, all he's going to do is just sit up there and basically if he's associating with anybody, he's going to be associating with other people that believe that same ridiculous way.
Well, too, but they learn to cohabitate. And I think that's what he needs to learn. Because he might need, even though he's joining, because a lot of prisons, regardless if they do have those group of whites and black groups,
mm-hmm.
it's, majority of the jails are African American. Let's just be real. And a lot of those groups do
and
break off.
You got a lot of them in there too now.
Yeah. And they do break off where they do have to be with the opposite race. So even though they couple up at a point, they're smaller, they're minorities in there. And being the minorities, you still have to deal with the majority.
Mm.
And I think he will feel it, even though they have their SWAT stickers on and stuff like that. When they get in prison, they realize that they have to cohabitate with other people. So, yes, they do have their cliques and they try to stand behind each other, but with the majority, you're not going to win.
Yeah.
And he's going to have to learn to live with them or else. And I think that's what he needs to learn. You need to learn how to live with, even though he won't see the light of day, but I think he needs to learn that you have to, and he probably will be remorseful once he learns that people are people regardless of color, creed, religion, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think he needs to learn. And I don't think he will learn it sitting in the cell by himself looking at these pictures thinking he's a god.
But I don't think he's going to learn that being in prison, though. That's my thing. Because if wherever he is, I don't think he's going to learn that being in a prison, regardless of the aspect of death penalty or what, because of the fact of that's where if you truly believe that those people are not worthy of seeing the light of day, that's where you would believe that they would actually be best suited anyway. So it's like for you to see them in there, what kind of realization are you going to have about them being, oh, well, they're just like me if I'm in here because of what I believe in and they're in here because they belong in here? You know, it's,
So you don't believe in a death penalty at all?
No, I don't believe the death penalty is a solution for people because it's like I said, it's not giving them accountability for the most part. They feel like, okay, well, they're being held accountable if they're given their life. But my thing is accountability comes from the mind. And you have to really accept the fact that you was wrong about something in order to be accountable for it. Rather, if you give
them
what or not.
Well, why not send them to a mental institution then?
Even if you send them to a mental institution, a mental institution still is going to have them around other people and is going to have them heavily medicated. So how much are they really going to really be sitting there thinking about stuff? It's like, you know, it's not like they're going to be really having a conscious mind for the most part if you're going into a mental institution. Because, let's be honest, mental institutions, from what we've seen, because I've never been inside of one, but from what we've seen, they're basically medicating people to try to help them accordingly become more functional in a lot of
mm-hmm.
You know, they're not like they're going to a psychiatrist.
right.
into an institution where you're basically medicating people.
Right.
So for him, that's not going to help him out either, because it's like he's not going to be conscious being there. So yeah. at least